so I bought him a boat for Father's Day. And then I got, you know, buyer's remorse and got scared and wanted to take it back and not go through the deal. So that you probably can go back somewhere around May and hear messages about people that give gifts and take them back. But we were sailing last week, and I got to have them all to myself. And we took off to Catalina, and we saw pods of whales and dolphins everywhere. And, you know, Jim's 68, I'm 63, and so we're like seniors now, you know. And so the bending and the lines on the ship and all of this stuff, man, we were so sore when we got off that boat. I couldn't believe it. So we got to get in better shape, babe. I don't know where this is going, but anyway, I'm chatting. So there, piece of us. But we were gone last week, and we were in Catalina just loving each other and loving God and just looking at this amazing creation. And our kids were here doing the first service of New Year's. And so we streamed it on the boat, and we got to see everybody and hear the music, and the music was wonderful, and the messages were incredible. They were incredible. And, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit, because God's in the pulpit. And God's speaking, whether he's speaking through my son Luke or my son Dan or my daughter Jess or my husband Jim or Dr. Becker and Eleanor or the friends of ours that are coming to these pulpits this year from great churches all over the world, God has a word for his people. And tonight, I'm that messenger. And so we're going to pray. Will you stand with me? And we're going to believe God that he's going to settle my mind down so I can get through and not have rabbit trails for the men in here. Because I do believe God has a good word for us tonight. And the title of the message tonight is Bringing God's Plan into 2014. And it's about faith. It's about dreaming again. It's about star walking and so many things that God wants to talk to us about. So, Lord, here we are. We are people that are grateful. Lord, there's not words in the human language, in any language on the earth, that can adequately express the gratefulness of the human race in our hearts for what you've done for us, that you've loved us beyond measure, and that you've come for us, and you've adopted us, and reinstated us, and restored us as your people. So, Lord, tonight as we open your book, second Wednesday night of 2014, Father, open our eyes that we can see. Lord, we need revelation this year. We need to grow up this year. We need to be people that you can trust with the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, we ask that as we open the book, you'd open our hearts. As we open our hearts, you'd open our ears. And, Lord, as we open our ears, open our eyes to see Jesus. From the beginning to the end, may we see the Master. And may we know him. And may we be filled with his grace and the knowledge of him. Bless the churches tonight that are having services, Lord. It's such a great family. Thank you for the great big family we're all involved in. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Bringing God's plan into our lives in 2014. Now, I don't know about you, but at the beginning of every year, Jim and I, we look at each other and we have these great ideas about how we're going to change. Does anybody else do that? I don't know about you, but I was Mrs. Claus during Christmas. I just wanted to bake cookies for my grandchildren and just eat as much as I could. I didn't care about how much weight I gained. I said that then. Now it's 2014, and I got on the scale, and I can't get into anything, so I do care. So anybody else had that fun adventure in December? Just ate yourselves happy? Yeah, so now we're fasting, and now we're denying ourselves sugar and all of these things, and we're pressing into God, and it's a good season, and it's a good time to do that. And God says there's times to celebrate. And then there's times to pull back the flesh and to let that spirit get that flesh stronger in you, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so even though I am born of the Spirit of God, I still have in me, resident in me, residing in me, an old nature that would love to take control. Does anybody else have that problem? You know, the good Debbie and the bad Debbie, the evil twin. Anybody have an evil twin here? And this year, God wants us to get strong and to be strong disciples and strong men and women of God. And so as I said, the older I get and the more I see my grandchildren grow, my oldest grandson got married in October last year. And it's just exciting to see this generation just rising and what's happening. And one generation will declare his works to the next. And so tonight, I want to look at some things about faith. Because one of the things that was mentioned, and Luke, I believe, preached on this. They all did. But Luke really talked about faith, that the just shall live by faith, and that in 2014 we're going to have to live by faith. And if there's one thing I know, being married to a wild man, which I have been married to him for 35 years in another 2 weeks, I know that we started our life together in faith. He took me to a faith convention on our honeymoon. We didn't go to Hawaii. We went to Anaheim Convention Center. And there we studied the Word of God, and we heard great teachers that taught us things that I had not been taught and put some things in my spirit. And we had no idea we would ever pastor. We were business people. Jim was a contractor. We were going to be building for the kingdom of heaven. We had a fund, a checkbook, and it was entitled the Jesus Fund, and we were going to give away as much as we could give away, and we did. We had no idea 35 years ago that we would ever pastor such a wonderful church as The Rock. And so through this journey that we've been on for these last 35 years, there are some things that I have learned, and I am learning, and I find the older I get, the more I need faith. Faith isn't something that you do and then you stop doing. Faith is actually an economic system, and I believe it's the kingdom economic system of heaven, because economics is simply that which moves goods and services. And so when we want to get something from the invisible realm of the kingdom into the visible realm of our world, the natural world, something has to move it from the invisible into the visible world. Is that not true? Money moves goods and services in our natural world, and I believe faith is the currency that moves goods and services in God's kingdom. And so I believe that it's important that you and I understand and walk in faith and know that we grow in faith every year, that we should not be the same Christians today that we were last year, and that next year will be different than we are today, because like it or not, everything's changing, and nothing stays the same, including us. And so I wanted to look at three things tonight about faith, about the plan of faith and the walk of faith. And when I was just last week, I had just gotten back. I was gone out right after Christmas. I'm at the stage of life right now where my parents are very, very ill, and my father is probably going to go home to be with the Lord soon. He's been dying for 35 years, so who knows? Jim says he's the Energizer Bunny, and just when we think, I run up to Washington to say goodbye to him, and he gets a second wind. So it's in God's hands. My dad's a Christian. He loves God, and I know he's going to heaven. He's seen his angel, so it's all good. But I'm in that stage of life. And so I ran up there, and I was with my kids because they came with me. And there we were, and he's in a convalescent hospital. And it was a very sad, a sad 4 days, because no one likes to see their parents in a convalescent hospital. And I wrote something down, and I actually wrote it to Eleanor, and my heart was heavy. And I said this. I said, I can see that heaven is our great hope and our true home. Life is the adventurous journey there, and for love of the King, we have the faith to walk it out. And I think that when you are with people that are close to heaven and everything is gone, life has been so diminished that you can no longer hear or see, food no longer has any temptation for you. Oh, Lord, will that ever happen to me? But when you get to that place where finally, the flesh is so diminished that life now is just hanging by a thread, you really come to that place where you say, what is the meaning of everything? The day we're born and the day we die, that space in between, that dash, what is that all about? What is that for? And why are we here? And truly, 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 the only thing that makes any sense and the only thing that even echoes of truth is that heaven is our great hope. Heaven is the truth. Heaven is the truth of where we truly belong. We are strangers and we are pilgrims going through this life experience. We are walking it through. Every one of us is walking out a life of faith. Every one of us is going to face God. Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us is going to face that death angel. Every one of us is going to go before the throne of God. And every one of us is going to hear one or two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Or what did you do with my son? And why did you reject him? Heaven is our great hope. And for love of the King, the journey of faith gets us there. And it's a journey. It's a journey. It's a marathon race, and it's a journey. And my faith from year to year, from season to season, has to be honed, has to be understood, and has to be fleshed out and lived out every single year of my life. And so for 2014, beloved family, we're going to need to walk in faith. We're going to need to walk by faith, and we're going to need to understand it and let it grow in us so that we can be a people that can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in 2014. So I want to give you three things tonight. And I'm going to look at the father of faith because he's the prototype, Abraham. And I'm going to give you three things tonight about faith. I'm going to give you the purpose to believe. I'm going to explain to you that we need permission. Faith needs permission to believe. First, faith needs a purpose to believe. Faith needs a permission to believe. And faith needs a passion to carry it out. So I'm going to do some homiletics tonight, three things, three P's. We're going to look at purpose. We're going to look at permission. And we're going to look at passion. Are you ready? And we're going to do this in 30 minutes, and we're going to get you out of here tonight. It's just a good meat and potatoes meal. Are you ready? So looking at living our lives out in faith and by faith, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the faith comes when the will of God is known. You are designed, and there is a DNA, God DNA, on the inside of your heart and my heart, that when I hear the truth, the word of the living God, faith comes by hearing the word of God. When I hear that word, it's either going to go into a heart that is good and hears it and believes it, or it's going to go into an unbelieving heart. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we're going to look at a man. His name was Abram. He was in Ur of the Chaldee. He had a father and a family. They lived in a very dangerous time. They lived in a time of walled cities. They lived in a time, an ancient civilization that was pagan and barbaric. And this man enters the scene of the book of Genesis, and he's about to become the father of you and I, the father of faith. It's going to be the prototype and the man on the earth that is going to actually be the one that's going to bless the planet, and out of his seed is going to come one who will be the Messiah. All right? Abraham, the father of faith. And God speaks to Abraham, or it's his name is Abram, and hasn't been changed yet. And I'm going to talk about, number one, in my faith, I'm going to have a purpose to believe. I've got to have a reason to do something. Faith comes when the will of God is known. You can't do what you're going to have to do in faith if you don't know it's the will of God. It's impossible, because there will be too much doubt and there will be too much confusion in your heart where faith grows by the word of God. When I was growing up in the denominational evangelical, wonderful church taught me wonderful things, but they taught me some things I had to unlearn about God. I was taught that God, you never know what he's going to do, and he can break your leg, he can make you sick. That God is sovereign, of course God is sovereign. He owns the universe, he created it, he owns it, and he runs it. No one is arguing about that. But God is a good God. God is a God of love and goodness. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to be the God of wrath and he's not going to deal with us and there is unintended consequences of sin, absolutely. But God is not going to break your leg or kill your baby or do something to teach you something. That's why he's given you the word of God. He says, don't be like the horse and the mule, so stubborn I got to put a bit in their mouth. He says, come and learn of me. Come, let us reason together. Learn of me. Let me give you wisdom. It's called the word of God. So God's a good God, and God shows us when he talks to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, if you'll go there with me, we'll just quickly go here. Now the Lord said to Abram, chapter 12, verse 1, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. We see the word bless there. God says, I want to make you something. I want to reinstate you. I want to restore you. I want to bring back dominion to mankind. Satan is the ruler of this world, and God had a plan to reinstate and restore us. And he says to Abram, I want to bless you. The word bless means the power to succeed. God says, I want to give you the power to succeed. He's a good God that wants to bless us and wants us to have our families fed, our children blessed, roofs over our head. He wants to prosper us. case in point, look what he says to Abram. I want to bless you and make you a great nation. Now, he was one man. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a good God to me. God didn't come up to Abram and say, I want you to leave everything that's dear to you and everything that's familiar to you and everything that you know in your life, everything that makes sense to you, and I want you to get out of that place of familiarity, and I want you to just go into the wilderness, and I'm going to probably kill you. I'm going to destroy you. You're going to be chased by your enemy. You're going to be diseased, and you'll never have any children. See, God doesn't say that, does he? God says, I want you to leave what you are safe and familiar with because I've got somewhere I need you to go with me. And you can't do what you need to do, and I can't use you where you are. I have to get you out of the safe and the familiar, and I have to take you into the realm of faith, and I got to bring you into my kingdom because, you see, God has made a covenant with us, and God has given us the earth, and God wants to use us, and through us, he will work his pleasure and his plan and his will. You, my darlings, are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. The body is the hands, the feet, the mouth. The body is everything Jesus is. We are him on this earth. Did I say we were deity? No, I said we were children of the King. As much as he is human, we are human. He's given us the nature of God Almighty on the inside of us, and God wants to bless us. He's a good God. And if you don't know that, you're not going to be able to believe him. You're not going to be able to believe him when you need a car, when you need a job, when your kids are going south on you. You're not going to be able to dream a dream if you can't believe that God wants to bless you and do something with you that he hasn't done with anybody else. And he has made you, and you are here for a reason. You are here for purpose. There's nobody like you. He has gone to the greatest lengths of heaven to save your hide, and now he wants to pour himself into us so that he can pour himself through us. But we got to believe him. Christians, Rock Church, let's wake up in 2014 and let's dream some dreams and believe God that he's a good God and he wants to do something in our lives. Who cares how long this stupid recession is? Since when are we bound by the economics of this world when our Father has asphalt so pure that you can see through it and it's gold? We've got to change perspective. It's a perspective change, church. We have to have a purpose. And God says to him, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. This is not so that you and I can be spoiled and selfish and foolish and crazy and worried and distracted. God wants us to grow up and actually inherit the family business. It's called the kingdom of God, and he wants to pour the kingdom to us and through us, but that means we're going to have to believe God. And the first thing you're going to have to believe is there's purpose, because faith comes when the will of God is known, and God wants to bless you, Christian, in 2014. There is purpose for your faith. Jim and I have walked off a cliff in faith. We're doing some crazy things right now. And guess what? We got a God that loves his people to believe him and challenge our faith. If we fail, we can't fail, because God's the one that holds our hand. And though you fall, he says you'll not be utterly cast down, for he holds your hand. So what have you got to be afraid of? All right. Purpose. Purpose. God wants to restore. He wants to reinstate. God's heart is to prosper us. God's will is to bless us, to make his name great. I have children and I have grandchildren. If my children came and they were all completely tardy and they were completely poor and they were dirty and they had no clothes and they were starving and they all lined up here and I said, I want to introduce you to my family. And you looked at them and you just shook your head and said, my goodness, that's the best you could do for your family and take care of them. Would that make my name great as a parent? Would it make your name great? Do you want to see your children in poverty, in sickness, in disease, in failure? Do you want to see your children there? And God said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the things that you need? See, we got to switch this thing with God. He is not a bad God. He's the good God. He's a good God, and I am a prosperity preacher. And I am not talking about money, because money can't buy health. Money can't buy a good marriage. Money can't grow a church. Money can't build a business. Money can't give you a good idea. Money can't make your relationships heaven on earth. Money can't do any of that. All money is a servant. You see, prosperity is when you are healthy in your body and your soul and your spirit, when your relationships are healthy, when your family loves each other, when God's using you. Yes, you're going to go through hard times. Yes, this earth is going to bring some troubled times. But guess what? Through all the trouble, he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. That's prosperity. So, Christian, what is your purpose in 2014? What are you dreaming? Because number two, not only does faith have to have purpose, Abraham had a word from God. Leave everything that you know and everything that's dear and hightail it out and follow me. And he did. So now let's just fast track. Abraham's gone through Egypt. He's gone through some hard times. He has just rescued Lot, his nephew. He's just overcome and had a miracle in a military victory. A miracle. We taught this in the book of Hebrews about Melchizedek, and Abraham overcame the four kings of Chaldamar. It was a miracle, because those four kings slaughtered five kings. And Abraham had a nephew, his name was Lot. Abraham didn't have any children. Lot was the closest thing he had to a son. So Lot was stolen, and Lot was a hostage, and Lot and his family who'd gone to Sodom and Gomorrah, he had word that they had been stolen by these kings. And he took 300 of his servants, trained servants, and off they went, and God gave them a complete military victory over these four nations. It was a miracle. So he has seen some amazing victories. He's gone through a famine in Egypt. His wife Sarah was so incredibly beautiful, but if anybody saw her face, they wanted her because she was a 10. A Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor, I don't know what's a 10 today. She was a beautiful woman. You looked at her and every man wanted her. How fun to be married to somebody like that. Especially when you're wandering and there's not a lot of you. He has gone through some tough times. And now he's just come through this war. And in chapter 15 of Genesis, he still doesn't have any children. He has an encounter with God in chapter 15, because not only does faith need purpose, faith must have permission to continue. God knows us. God knows we get in faith ruts. God knows that our faith has to be fed and has to grow. God knows that between the amen and the hallelujah, the amen is I believe it, God, I heard your voice, I have purpose, and the hallelujah is I receive it. That's the walking out of life. You've heard me say that to you a million times. Faith is between the amen, I have it, and the hallelujah, I receive it. And that's the walk of faith, and that's life. And good things happen and bad things happen. And Abram has just come out of this war, and he's probably just contemplating. His nephew didn't stay with him. He went back to Sodom. So he's alone again, and he has no children. Now, he's had a word from God. He had a word from God. I'm going to bless you. Nations of the earth are going to be blessed in you. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed by you. That means if they're going to be blessed by you, you got to have children. There's going to be a clan I'm going to establish here. And here he is. He's just gone through this war. He is now older. He was 75 when he left Ur. Now he's in his 80s. And he's sitting there after this war, and God shows up in Genesis chapter 15. And let's just go there now, because I'm going to talk about permission. Faith needs permission, because faith can get in a rut. My faith can get into a very black hole in a rut. And God knows how to get us out of these ruts. And so this is what happens in Genesis 15:1. After these things, after the war was won, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. The word of the Lord came. Who was that? Jesus. Jehovah, Old Testament. Hello. Do we know who this Jesus is? Oh, my. This star breather that has become a man for us. Oh, that's Christology in the Bible college. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Vision. Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's now speaking to him again. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I have no offspring? Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar? Because Jesus had just said to him, I'm your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. And now Abram's saying, well, Lord, that's all fine and dandy. And I remember I'm here because of the blessing, but I don't have any children. And I have a servant. His name is Eleazar. Lord, he's going to be the heir of everything you've given me. And Abraham said, verse 3, look, you've given me no offspring. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Eleazar is not my plan for you, Abram. It's not my plan for you. Just because it hasn't come to pass yet, just because your faith is in a rut, doesn't mean that this is how it's always going to be. Eleazar is not going to be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now this word accounted means he was credited. Paul talks about it in Romans 3rd and 4th chapter, and in Galatians, the 3rd and 4th chapter, the story is recounted, and then God cuts the covenant with Abraham, but Abraham is in a rut. And here's God. God has this plan to reinstate and restore. He is reconciling all things back to himself, in the universe, visible and invisible. He's using humanity to do it. He's using Jesus and the cross. Here's his faith father. Here's a man. Abram, leave Ur. He's done that. I want you to get out of there, everything you know, everything you think. It's all got to change because you're going to walk with me and I'm God. So now here you are. You've just gone through this incredible war. You've had an incredible victory. You knew you couldn't win this by yourself. 300 men and 4 king nations that slaughtered 5 king nations. Come on, that was a miracle. So here I am, I'm your shield, I'm your exceeding great reward, and I'm showing up again, and Abram just says to God, God, what are you going to give me? You said you're going to bless me. All the nations, the families are going to be blessed, but I don't have any kids. And God says, Abram, that's not how it's going to be. And Abram says, I don't understand. And God says, come here, let me show you something. I need to take you out, and you need to look at something that I made. And he shows him the stars. Now, there is a picture of the Milky Way. In the Milky Way itself, which is our galaxy, there are over 400 billion stars. Say it, 400 billion. Billion. There are over 100 billion planets in the Milky Way. Not just stars, which are suns. We happen to be in this Milky Way galaxy. This is our home. Earth is in the Milky Way. Now, we are probably on a clear night able to see at the most 2,500 stars. But you see, when God wants to show you something that he made, and when he has his faith father in somewhat of a rut, and he needs to get him out of this content. Thank you, God. You've done all this for me. You did it. Look at the victory I had. Look at the incredible war that was fought. You've blessed me. You've made me wealthy. You've been good to me. You know, I'm okay. Eleazar, he's going to do it. It's okay, God. You see, we can get in a rut. We can stop dreaming. Because it hasn't happened. Circumstances have come alongside us. Life has happened. God's been good. We don't want to expect too much from God. Look how good he's been. But you see, God needs us. Yeah. He will not do what he has assigned us to do. And we cannot do what only he can do. We are partners with him. Jesus is the head. We are the body. He has chosen to join himself to us. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't my idea. But I'm part of the bride. And everything he has, he's given to me. Everything. His name, his inheritance, his kingdom, his power. He says, all power has been given unto me. Go ye, therefore, into all the world. Right? Delegated that authority to the church. But you see, when the church is in a faith rut, oh, maybe God doesn't want me to do that. It hasn't happened. That husband didn't come along. That divorce happened. That job failed. That business failed. This happened. That happened. Let me tell you, life happens. But God is God. And with God, nothing is impossible to those who believe. And if God said it can happen, it can happen. It's about timing. And he got to get us out of that faith rut because he said, come here, baby. Come here, Abram. Let me take you on a little star walk with me. Let me just show you the stars and count them if you are able. And you see, you can count 2,500 stars, but you cannot count 400 billion stars. It is impossible to count that many stars. And I just happen to know that I know that I know that when God takes you outside to take a look at something, you're going to see what you've never seen before, because the very one that has made it all has got you by the hand and says, look up, daughter. Look up, son. Let me just open your eyes and let me just show you who I am and what's available. Because faith needs permission to believe and get out of the rut. Some of you have stopped dreaming. I want to show just a little video. Then we're going to go to point number three. And we'll close it for tonight. Just watch this little video about dreaming again in 2014. Wedding day, throwing a winning touchdown. We dream of performing in front of thousands, and something happens. Somewhere in the process of growing up, we quit dreaming. Happens to everyone. Security and safety took the place of risk, venture. It happens to everyone. What if God is asking you to dream again? What if your heart's desires were planted there by God Himself? Business. Lead a group. Give to the needy. Create something beautiful. Pour Jesus into our world. It's not too late. It's never too late. The world's waiting. Stand up, live bigger, risk greater, love stronger, fall harder, rise up better, run faster, move forward in spite of your fear. Give yourself permission to dream again. Sitting in this auditorium tonight, there is immeasurable greatness, because the very favor of God is on His children, and His children are sitting in this sanctuary tonight. 2014, faith needs purpose. You know, it says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, and I didn't quote it, but let me quote it for you now, and if I could have it up, it's from point one. When you worry about, is it the will of God? Is it God's will? You can make yourself crazy wondering, is this what God wants me to do? Faith needs purpose. Is this God's will for me? This is what it says in Proverbs 16:3, and I've lived my life by this. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. What if the very thing in your heart is breathed by God for his purpose and his glory, and the enemy is trying to beat it out of you, scare it out of you, talk it out of you, wait you out of it, tell you it can't happen? Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who you should think you are: a child of the living God. And he's at work both to will and to do his good pleasure in us. And when I commit my work to him, my life to him, when I get up in the morning and I say, God, I'm awake, your will be done this day in my life. Come, your kingdom be done, your will in my life. I have just handed him my life and my purpose and my plan. And it's now his responsibility to order my steps where he needs them to be. The pressure's off of me to make things happen, and faith kicks in. God's a good God that wants to bless you. Purpose. God needs your faith to be alive, and sometimes he's got to take us out of the ruts of time and disappointment and discouragement and life, and he's got to take us star walking again. And if you need to go outside with God, you can't see the stars, but I'll tell you what, you open your word or you begin to get alone with God this month, and you begin to say to Father, I need to see something. I need to hear something. I need you to take me star walking. I need permission again to believe. I've stopped believing. I've gotten comfortable. I've gotten complacent. I've stopped the risk and the adventure of living with you. And guess what? God's just waiting to take you for a star walk if you'll be willing to let him put his hand in yours. So faith needs purpose. Faith needs permission. And this is my last one, and we'll close tonight. You all right with me? Faith must have passion for the long haul, because this thing is not going to happen tonight, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. Just like I said when I was at my mom and dad's, and I wrote this down. I wrote it to Eleanor, and I wrote it down. Let me read it to you one more time. I can see that heaven is our great hope and true home. Life is the adventurous journey there. And for love of the King, we have the faith to walk it out. Life itself is the adventurous journey. And that means it's going to take a lifetime to accomplish God's plans and purposes, which means you're going to have to stay focused, church. Stay focused on what God's told you to do. Stay focused. Keep the faith and stay the course. The darker it gets, the lighter we are going to shine and the brighter we are going to be. But he needs a people to stay the course and keep the faith and stay focused. Not be cowardly, but be adventuresome, risk-taking people that are not afraid. If they lose everything, they lose everything. But if they believe this is what God wants for them, by God, they're going to do everything they can to see it happen. Because there's a great risk involved in stepping off that cliff of faith with God. If you don't think there is, then don't look at Rahab the harlot, and don't look at Sarah, and don't look at Abraham, and don't look at David and Goliath, and don't look at the 10 spies and the 2 spies, and don't look at all the ones that are in the Heroes Hall of Faith that had to risk everything and had to believe God and had to have a focus in their lives, because there were 25 years in Abraham and Sarah's life before Isaac was ever born. And they made some mistakes, and they had a long journey to walk out. But there came a time when he was 100 and she was 90 when God visited them and said, now you're going to have this miracle child. Now that you can't have him, you're going to have him. Now that you can't do it, now that you're completely dead, now that you're too old to do anything, now you're going to see that I am God, and I can speak those things that are not as if they were, and I can make the dead live, and I can make the lame walk and the blind see, for he is God Almighty. And then that 100-year-old man slept with that 90-year-old woman, and a miracle happened, because she got beautiful again. He got young again. God's a good God. He can do what he needs to do. If he needs to recreate a womb, he can do that. If he needs Viagra, he can certainly make it. That old man, who was as good as dead, and that old woman, who was right there with him, came alive and young and beautiful. And they had this amazing miracle child. But God wasn't finished, because there had to be passion. You see, He's a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before him. And the promise giver will not have the promise live as more important than him. And when that child was old enough to walk and was a lad, he came to Abraham by this time. His name had been changed. And he said, Abraham, I need you to take your son, your only son. I need you to hightail it to Mount Moriah. And there offer him as a burnt offering to me. And it says in Genesis chapter 22, if I can have that up on the overhead. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So there again, faith has taken another journey. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, rose, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And there on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. What I love about this passion is that Abraham passed the last test. The promise giver was more important than the promise. Because sometimes our eyes get on the promise, and they get off the promise giver. And God's not going to let that happen. And God says, no, I don't need you to look at the promise. I need you to keep your eyes on me. Because whether that promise happens this way or whether that promise happens that way or that way. You see, Abraham said, the lad and I will come back. He knew what a burnt offering was. He knew it was a wholly consumed offering. Nothing's left. He knew if God had to raise Isaac from the dead, from the ashes, and recreate that son, he would. Because his eyes were not on the promise. His eyes were on the promise giver, who is the promise keeper. But you see, faith needs to be passionate and will keep its promise of love back to the King. Our great hope is heaven. Life is a journey to get there, and for love of the King, we can have faith to walk it out. But it's for love of the King that faith comes. Faith works by love. And when you begin to fall in love with the King, in the journey of life, when you begin to let him become more to you this year than he was last year, when you begin to search the scriptures and learn of the grace of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, when you begin to see this promise giver and this promise keeper, then the promises that he has for you are nothing more than necessary tools to get the job done. But for passion of the King, everything is about him. And beloved, that's when the adventure really becomes a lover's amazing adventure and a divine romance, and you begin to walk out your life in love with the God of the universe. Faith works by love. When you know you're loved, when you know you're forgiven, when you know when you screw up, it's under the blood. When the devil wants to rail at you and tell you this and tell you that and your family and your friends, but you know you're loved. Something on the inside of you says, focus, 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 stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. And you begin to stand up, whether you are old or whether you are young, you begin to stand up and you begin to say, Lord, with God, nothing is impossible. We will continue the journey. We will continue the plan. We will continue doing what God's told us to do. We will stay the course, finish the race, conclude the fight. And when it's all done, we get to go home to our true heaven, because this is what it says, and this is my last verse for you. This is it. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. For truly heaven is our true home and our true hope. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, Abraham had to come out of Ur, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Faith must have purpose. God's glory to you and through you. No one can do what only you can do. Faith must have permission, because you will get in faith ruts, but go star walking with God. And faith must be consumed with passion, because between the amen and the hallelujah is the journey and the walk, and you are going to have to stay the course and finish the fight. But Rock Church, those that are listening, if anyone's listening anywhere in the world, as a brother and a sister, truly the Lord is coming. Truly the Lord wants to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. Truly the word of the Lord is true, and truly all that he has said about the second coming of Jesus Christ, we are closer than we have ever been before. And truly, this is a time and this is a season for our family to steady itself, to get ready for war like we've never gotten ready for war against the darkness, to understand that we are fighting a fight of faith that will change this world, change our legacy, change our nations, change our families, change our generations. Truly, we are a people that do not need to be cowardly and afraid. Truly, we are a people that need to have purpose and permission and passion to walk out this life, this year, as God would see it, and to do God's will. For truly, we are a people that belong to the King. And truly, we are a people. Stand with me and say this with me. Stand with me. If you believe this, come your kingdom, Almighty God, and be done your will. Are you ready to say that with me? If you want to be a people with purpose, a people with permission, if you're in a faith rut tonight, you can get right out of it. God's got a rope. He's pulling you out of that faith hole. Passion. If you're not in love with the King like you want to be, then hold on, because believe me, he's more madly in love with you than you can imagine. If you want to even begin to love him and enter into this divine romance of God in you, he's waiting for you with passion. This is not a religion, this is a relationship with the God of heaven and earth, the star maker and the star breather. Therefore, out loud and on purpose, Father, we say, now say this with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, we are people looking in 2014 to fulfill your purpose for our lives. Please, Holy Father, as we roll our work, our thoughts, our ideas, our dreams, our visions, as we roll them on you, you said you will cause our thoughts to become agreeable with your will. And so shall our plans be established and be fulfilled. We recognize that we cannot do this apart from you. And we recognize that you will not do this apart from us. Therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus, we say, come your kingdom, be done your will. We receive permission to believe you for the impossible. Where I've not dreamed dreams, now, Father, awaken my spirit. Awaken my heart. Let me understand that it is not too late, that I am right on time. So come your kingdom. Be done your will in my life and in this place in 2014. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, how can you not be happy? What is too hard for God? Money is not the issue, but the issue is taking on the Father's nature of generosity. And he breaks that power of mammon off of us, because mammon is a god, money. Money's not my God, money's my servant. So God says, I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to teach you how to be like me, be generous. When you want to hang on, you got to let go. You got to trust me. So if you've never given and you're afraid, this year God wants to teach you how to trust him. He's not mad at you. He loves you. I had to be taught how to tithe because I was afraid. I was a single mom with no money. I didn't understand the kingdom. So don't be under condemnation, but just get ready to learn and trust him. Because he loves to show off for you. So we're going to take up tithes and offerings tonight.